This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
At GoDaddy.com, we believe you can do amazing things on the internet. Start with a domain name, then build yourself a website or have GoDaddy build one for you. From hosting and online shopping carts to SSL certificates, GoDaddy has the tools you need at prices to fit any budget. Get your .com for $5.49 when you use the code RAMBLE1 at checkout. GoDaddy.com. Domains, websites, and everything in between.
Stop what you're doing. It's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. We're back, and my name's Marcus, and I've got the three sexy babes with me. Jim.
Word up.
Pete.
All your best, I belong to us.
And Luke.
All right.
Oh, I am indeed. Now, last week we saw a man cuff himself to the goalposts at Goodison Park. If you had to disrupt a football match, how would you do it? Jim.
Well, what I would do is I would put on a flame retardant suit, maybe two or three flame retardant suits, actually thinking about it. I'd put on the kit of the team that I was choosing to sort of terrorise. Let's say...
Spurs, because you're an Arsenal fan.
Say Fulham,
okay.
Because it seems unfair.
Yeah.
No one's ever protested against Fulham.
Exactly, that's very true.
And then I'd just set myself ablaze and
just run around.
Well, join in with the game.
Right.
Self and others' immolation.
Yeah, well, the others obviously would run away. And can you imagine how long that would take to
inevitable
sort out?
Inevitable common... Sorry.
Well, I'm sure they have got sort of, fire extinguishers and stuff at the ground, but it'd take a while.
But would you carry on running away knowing that the people chasing you were going to put you out?
Or...
Well, what other choice have I got?
Well, if you're in Fulham,
I'd be doing kick-ups, like backflips, break dancing.
I've never seen you do more than three kick-ups.
Yeah, or a backwards
roll. I'll put some practice in.
You couldn't even do a backwards roll, I'm willing to bet. But you could jump in the river as well if it really got...
Yeah. That's a great shout. Finish off by jumping in the Thames.
Yeah, see ya.
With the Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I'll take it with me. I'll burn his face up like in the Pepsi advert.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, inevitable commentator comment, he's on fire.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd be gutted if that didn't get an airing.
Yeah, sure.
He set Craven Cottage alight, and then Jane Redknapp going, oh, quite literally.
Yeah.
Oh, he's figuratively on fire.
No!
Yeah. I think the Fulham faithful would quite like that.
Yeah, well,
they're like, oh, Ash, can we have that every week?
Might ruin the pitch.
Oh, they're not very...
What would happen is he'd be at the back of the stand trying to set fire to himself. The whole stand would go up. It would be a disaster.
it would be a tragedy.
Yeah, it would be.
Or the wind coming off the river, you would be able to light it. Yeah. You'd end up just going home.
Well, I mean, it'd take me ages to get three flame retardant suits on. You know, I think people would just start to question my motives.
But I think the best part of all this is it'll never happen.
No.
Yeah.
So the idea of you going into a shop and going, oh, can I have a flame retardant suit? Get out, sir. This is the officers' club.
Go away, Jim. You've been warned about this.
Right,
and
Pete.
Warned about it.
Pete, what have you got?
Well, mine's kind of suit-based as well.
Oh, thief.
Just something I've always
wanted
to
set yourself on fire in a flame retardant suit.
No, just kind of somebody else, Jim. You know, like when they cast like suits of armour?
It's really cool about this.
I'd have it made out of the same stuff they make lollipops out of. So okay. It'd be so you're like in the same way that, you know, metal can't bend.
So you're looking at a massive Jolly Rancher.
A massive suit of armour made out of Jolly Rancher sort of material. I'd be
boiled
slightly see-through. Mm. You'd sort of see like an outline of my penis and stuff, and I'd sort of be clanking around.
The pubic hair would be stuck to it though.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll just run full pelt into the one of the posts and just a big explosion of candy.
And then a naked you.
And then a naked me would emerge.
It'd be glorious.
And then would you then scream, come and get my candy.
Come and get my candy.
Do you know what? I really like that.
Yes.
I like the idea. I think it's just more something I've always wanted to do. It doesn't even have to be. I'm glad I've got the
not really football
platform
related,
to get involved.
Well, yeah, it's certainly safer than Jim's one.
Yeah,
Luke, what have you got?
Marginally.
What have you got?
I would probably put on a clown suit, a big clown wig,
big suit thing,
paint my face up, put a black bear rover shirt on.
Here we go.
And run around Ewood Park just shouting, Keenan, Keenan.
Good, I like that.
Short and sharp, that's it.
Wouldn't even need new trousers. Hey.
Yeah. Clever. I would, I think I would pay the stadium announcer to play.
Swear.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Number 12, motherfucking John Parkin.
To play Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. And I would come in on horseback, dressed in full cowboy gear, while the game's going on.
This is quite homoerotic.
And with, and with me steel, I'd just shoot the ball and then gallop off into the sunset.
Yeehaw!
And gallop off into the sunset. It would have to be an evening game, of course, at the right time of year. Yeah. Which is kind of the only tricky point.
Lasso the ref. Yeah. And go, no rules, yeehaw! I'm off to the saloon to have some sipping whiskey. Yeah. And then you'd leave.
Yeah. But I wouldn't shout that because then they'd know where to find me.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Well, I think they'll, the saloon. You know,
would they assume I was there?
The Fulham saloon.
Luke's got the points.
Oh, cheers. I wasn't expecting that. I thought Pete would get them.
Yeah, all right. Pete's got. No, Luke's got them. I do like that. I like the clown feeling.
I feel like I just wasted a lot of money on flame retardant suits.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that three retardant suits is any more flame retardant than one, to be honest. Otherwise, it's not doing its job, is it?
I've just got to be safe, haven't I?
You go into a shop for a flame retardant. So can you recommend anything else? Well, if you want it really flame retardant, you can buy two more.
Yeah, in case it burns through the suit. Is it really flame retardant? Are you going to buy something or what?
Yeah. Well,
let's talk about the man who inspired all of us to talk about that. The middle-aged man who did handcuff himself to the post at Goodison Park. He was protesting about Ryanair's recruitment policies. Apparently his daughter was turned down for a job with them, it would appear. I couldn't. It was unbelievable.
One of the most embarrassing dads in history, sure. And did you hear why she was turned down?
No.
Apparently she didn't actually pass her probation, and she like didn't come in a couple of days. She was late all the time. They turned her down because she failed her probation. She was saying that it was some sort of scam Ryanair was setting up through this independent contractor, where they were trying to get like money out of them, and then they wouldn't give them the jobs and keep the money. And the dad who handcuffed himself to the post was like, he was saying, "Oh, you know, a Scouse girl was rumbled in, and they don't like it." He made it all about being a Scouser for some reason, and then just off he went with his mad little protest.
If she's that bad, he's going to need more handcuffs, I feel.
To be fair, if I'm a girl,
yeah, because she's going to take her a while to get the work ethic any company.
It must be hard for her to go in every day when you've got that at home. To be fair, I've got bigger things to worry about.
She'll
to be honest,
she'll have some issues.
Am I the only person missing like the link between the handcuff to the post at Goodison Park and Ryanair?
Yeah, no, the
it's like Fathers for Justice, isn't it? Yeah. Batman and Robin. Yeah. I don't really see it.
Well, the boss of Ryanair is actually at the game.
Right, that makes sense. No one said.
Oh no, I had to really dig around to find it out.
Really. He didn't even have a t-shirt on saying it, did he?
No, he did.
Oh, did he?
But in tiny print. And he was facing the post anyway, so he obscured it. He really didn't think it through.
No.
When I first
Liverpool
heard about it...
Well.
Oh, well, that's a real insult, that is.
I wasn't watching the game, and I turned it on just because somebody on Twitter said this, because I was working. But I was thinking, how is he going to get the manacles round the post itself? And I didn't think that he could just put his arm around it.
How did
they get rid of him so quickly?
They used
bolt cutters.
How do you even have that so
quickly? They were like a pair of like handcuffs, like a joke shot. They're just plastic.
I was utterly enthralled by it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And that's why we started the show with it, quite frankly. But let's move on to the football, shall
we? Sorry about that, listeners.
Flame suits and men in handcuffs. Or the Premier League,
the Marcus
as we
Scholes
call it.
Story.
We've got to go to Chelsea 3, Manchester United 3. What a game! One of the games of the season, I'd like to suggest. Pete, would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. A few too many penalties for my liking, but one of the best penalties I think I've seen in the Premier League, that Rooney one where he slammed, the first one I believe, where he just slammed it into the roof.
He was annoyed with the ball.
He
bullied it in, didn't he?
Considering he missed, what, 3 of his last 5 or something?
I think he'd missed 4 and 8 going into that game.
Yeah, you thought to yourself, well, what's he going to do?
4 of their last 5 goals have been penos now.
Yeah.
Man United.
But Ferguson was complaining they didn't get enough penalties.
Still moaning about the rest. Did you see those two pens?
Yeah. To be honest with you, I actually agree with him. I thought the two penalties that were given were penalties.
Like the first one was really soft.
Borderline.
No, it was a penalty. It was well played.
Sorry, the first one, the second one where he stumbled into him. Ivanovic actually tried to come up, get away.
I'd still give it.
Well, you see him given.
That's it. And Young was held back in the first half.
Yeah, that one
he?
I was surprised.
What about the Cahill one on Welbeck? What do you think, Luke?
Well, I mean, I think Ferguson, I was just. I was just sort of like thinking to myself, that's a bit of cheek, Ferguson.
Did he go, he was short of saying, well, we agreed on three before the game.
He sort of tripped himself up to a certain extent.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I just couldn't see that.
Do you reckon at half time he said to Howard Webb, look, you're going to have to get your shift on. This isn't kind of
One in each half, people will talk otherwise.
I've genuinely got penalty exhaustion. Was it, wasn't it? I don't even know anymore because they're given for the weirdest thing.
Well, we're going to be talking about two footed tackles later on, Pete. Save your energy for that. But, you know, it was. I thought United, as I'm sure many people did, were the better team at half time, although they were 1-0 down. And suddenly,
the goal was certainly against a run of play.
Yeah, I thought it was quite funny. I was talking to a Chelsea fan today.
Will do that though.
You will. Indeed. I thought it was quite funny. Someone, a Chelsea fan today, was saying to me, you know, flipping neck, the crop.
Where
Torres
to,
is,
Gov?
Yeah. He said Torres put the kind of ball in that nobody else can deliver, and I thought, we'll play him out wide then if he can do that. He's got about eight assists this season.
He was playing Mata more centrally. Mata was drifting in quite a lot. I agreed with what Michael Coxon started marking about that, and he really influenced the game more. And that volley was a sweet
side
hit.
Footer.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Sweet hit.
It was a side footer as well. Did you watch it?
I know. Look, you thought Torres played well in the second half. Yeah. It was very sort of abject in the first half. I mean, didn't get a lot of service to be fair to him. It's a strange one with Torres. I know it's been spoken about a lot, but he just. Is he ever going to get back from this?
I think he's getting slightly better, more adept as it goes on. There's a real big highlight of how sort of low on confidence he is still during the game, when he had a real chance to pull the trigger and he didn't, and he passed it.
Yeah.
And I think you were thinking, oh, that's really obvious that he should have, confident Torres would have pulled the trigger then. But it's all round players, link up players.
Certainly getting better. As you say, eight assists is pretty good, but it's over 1,000 minutes without a goal. A really interesting point I found that summed up the way Torres is going at the moment is. When he got into the box and he controlled the ball on his chest, nodded it down with his head, and I think it's the same one you were talking about where he didn't pull the trigger, but the skill to get himself into the position to fluff it was sublime. So
he's so close to getting back to what he was, and I really hope he does, and I think he can.
Well, the worst thing that can happen is as soon as Jobber comes back, he just gets dropped again, and that'll be his head down. You know?
But Chelsea, maybe they need that.
He seems like such a delicate, sort of fragile character.
He's the new Emile Heskey.
I did say this on Twitter, but he looks like a sad ghost.
He does a bit.
But I mean, if you've got a football player who's picking out like Mata and acres of space, to be fair, he wasn't a great defending, if you can pick him out, I don't mind. This loves scoring goals. It's got three against Man U.
Chicharito's goal as well. Where's the marking on that?
Luis had a good game apart from that.
The thing is with Luis, if you watch it again, there's a runner coming in from the box. I forget who it was, and I think it was Cahill. Probably should have picked up Hernandez. And he was kind of caught in two minds, but he didn't do either. At least do one. Yeah, you know, and it should be the man who's nearest the goal.
I thought that I really anticipated Man United attacking down the right with Valencia against Bosingwa playing out of position, who's not that good, Bosingwa, let alone at left back. But it didn't really seem to happen. But as you said, in a sort of weird way, they were still the better team in the first half.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if Man United had won that game, I mean, it probably feels a bit like a win for them, but if they had won that game, I'd have fancied them to go all the way, win the title, because it's such a huge result for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so I was doing BBC World Service on Sunday, and some of the people were saying that, people who were texting in were saying they were really annoyed because Chelsea wouldn't have conceded that against Mourinho. With Mourinho and Ancelotti as managers. 3-0 up at home. There's no way Mourinho
It's never happened before. That's true, though. They wouldn't have. I think that's never happened at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League.
But Chelsea are a team in transition. They've got to be patient. They've just got to be patient.
It's an interesting one to bring Romeo on. No, I know he wanted to shore it up, but United were so on the front foot that it was just a real sign of encouragement for them, which, you know, you don't give Man United.
What about Paul Scholes coming on?
Yeah, you felt like he had a big impact.
Massive impact, yeah. And get him on the plane.
He won't do it.
Him and Parker.
He won't do it.
Hey.
He hates John Terry.
John Terry hates gingers. He thinks there are two types of red people in this world, which is redheads and gingers.
I like that John Terry sat next to Ramirez in the crowd.
Some
of his best friends are black.
Just briefly before we go on to that, we've got to mention David De Gea with a wonderful save at the end.
Pulled out of where the spiders lived.
That's as good as a goal for me.
The camera shot was amazing because it came from nowhere. Like, he wasn't even in the shot. Flew across.
He's like a flying werewolf.
Yeah. Save of the season, Jim.
Clark. Yeah, absolutely.
Stick an absolute bullet free kick against him right on the top corner and he'll save it. Floater really floats across it.
And he'll try and punch it.
Yeah. Swallow it and stick it up over the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dear. Well, shall we move on to John Terry then?
Yes.
Must we?
Obviously, he's been stripped of the
England. What's he been up to?
Well, he didn't play for some reason on Sunday, but he's been stripped of the England captaincy. And Fabio Capello has strongly disagreed with this and come out and said so, which could compromise his situation as England manager, really. The FA explained
it,
didn't
they? I don't know that it will, yeah. I mean, I think it's a funny one, because Capello coming out and talking about it just means the issue rumbles on for a bit longer. But at the same time, I suppose he doesn't want to be seen to be a sort of fickle manager who changes his mind all the time. He's like, oh, he's my captain, he's not my captain, he's my captain, he's not my captain. So I think Capello's come out to sort of show that it's been taken out of his hands, you know. I think he's, weirdly, in a strange way, it's to sort of reinforce his own authority,
yeah.
You know, because he's not a fickle manager, and it's making him look like he is.
He's more annoyed the fact that it's been taken out of his hands and done above his head than anything else, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's the correct decision. I think if you look at the England captaincy as a almost like a position of public office, and you compare that with a politician or something, if there's enough evidence from the CPS to charge you for something, it's a racially based crime that you're being accused of, then you'd be suspended on full pay, taken out the firing line, and then you'd be... And you wait for the outcome of the case.
That's
and I think
right.
That's the right decision to make. I mean, you could even argue you should go one step further and say he's not eligible for selection, and in which case it's not Capello's business. You say, right, he's not available for selection, you've got to pick someone else, pal.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing that's kept Joey Barton out of England setups. You know, he's been
in the past.
Yeah, it's been, you know, mooted that, you know. I mean, I don't know if there's anything official.
Not officially.
Right,
not officially.
Well,
no.
I mean, it's certainly
not the exact
not
same
be,
thing. Let's make that very
clear. Of course, yeah, no, but it would not be a surprise if, you know, the FA were like, oh, we're not so sure about him. He's been to jail. This sort of thing.
Or Lee Bowyer might be.
Yeah,
another
you know, we've said it more than one occasion. We don't care who the captain is.
No, I don't.
Clearly, Rio Ferdinand doesn't.
It's an ambassadorial role. I mean, on one level, I agree with you. But the other thing is, you've got to look at it in the wider context. If England go and play Ukraine in Ukraine, and we have Ashley Cole left back, and the Ukrainian fans end up chucking a load of monkey chants at him,
yeah. Is Terry going to join in?
No, but the FA are then going to complain about it, and the Ukrainian FA are going to say, well, sort your own house.
Well, I think the problem with that is, the whole situation is the fact that I believe they were offered an earlier court date, but they were told that he was too busy. And a lot
those
of
key witnesses aren't available.
His key witnesses aren't available. What do footballers do? How come Harry Redknapp can go to a...
Why is a football game or a trip away to an away match taking precedence over a legal court case?
Yeah, it's an absolute
criminal
disgrace.
Case.
And I tell you what, the whole thing is making me slightly embarrassed to be a football fan. From the beginning of the incident happened to now, the way it's been dealt with, that exact incident you're talking about with the court case being moved, it's pathetic. Like with Rio Ferdinand getting booed, all that sort of stuff. I just thought we'd moved so far past all this sort of nonsense.
You don't want to be associated with it, yeah.
Mm. Well, Ferdinand said he didn't fancy it as captain, and can't blame him. Would we have Scott Parker?
I love Parker or Hart, but that's Peaks. I don't really care.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a coin toss. And
I'll say, give it to Casillas.
Casillas,
got, you know,
Rubinho. He captains Brazil. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah,
you know, it's just it's not as important as we make it out.
I'd make Hargreaves captain. He's never around. Just he can't do anything wrong. He's never there.
Out of the firing line again.
But the only thing I've got to do is toss a coin and exchange a pennant. Not Jermaine Pennant, like a pennant.
What has Terry really achieved as England captain?
No,
he's been kicked in the face loads and been at the helm for some embarrassing losses.
Well, I think to single him out, though, I think it's a...
Well, no, but the point is...
No, you want to generalise like racist him.
Oh, okay, right, I see.
But the point is, there's this clamour for him to stay as captain, but is he really... Does it make a difference if he's captain?
Well, who does? Does an England fan... Has he been that, you know, delicious an England captain in that he pisses in nightclubs? He, you know, he's not coming to the glory, you know?
Yeah. I'm nostalgic for those days.
Yeah,
it's
got
innocent.
Worse.
It's like more innocent about him taking a piss in a plant pot in a nightclub. That was a really big story back in the day.
It was, yeah. That wouldn't even...
I now assume he does that every night.
That wouldn't even make a sub-page on a sub-headline
just goes
on page
off the balcony.
Three.
He doesn't even have a toilet.
No.
Well, it is a funny
Bobby
one. But
no. Just, you know.
But what would say about... Yeah, what
I mean,
would
he
say?
Just stuck to theft, didn't he? I'm joking, West Ham, I'm joking.
What would say about John Terry is the reason why he was reinstated as captain was because in the friendly against Denmark, I think England won 2-1, that Capello didn't like it. And I can understand this. I can't remember who was captain. Maybe it was Lampard in the first half. I forget who. And in the second half, it was kind of like, oh, you have the armband, and nobody really wanted to take responsibility. And Terry was the only one trying to organise the team, trying to organise the back
line. He'd do that anyway.
Yeah, he would do that anyway.
Yeah,
but
this is true.
So I can understand why Capello's a little bit miffed, because if indeed Terry is a leader on the pitch, which he appears to be, That's why he's a bit annoyed. But ultimately, I'd like someone like Scott Parker.
He's all very well.
He looks like an RAF bomber pilot.
No, you know, I agree with Parker. I would say, because I think I genuinely think he's one of the first names on the sheet now. Yeah. Him or Hart. But the thing about John Terry is, you say, oh yeah, well, he takes it seriously. He doesn't like the fact that, you know, he organises. But he needs to realise, as an adult male, that there are some standards of behaviour that come along with that.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not saying he's been found guilty of anything yet, but his behaviour in the past hasn't exactly befitted an ambassador for the England team,
very true,
or for any team, and he needs to accept that.
Yeah. Another issue as well is that he hasn't been found guilty of anything yet.
No, but in the past he's done things though.
Yeah, I know, but this is why I think it's another strange reason that it's been put back. You know, why not try and clear his name as soon as possible?
I think there was a bit of pressure in there to put it back, and it made it a lot easier for them to not have to deal with it till after the Euros, to be honest. And then Terry can probably just retire anyway.
But I don't see why it's a positive thing for England.
I don't think it is.
I don't even know why he's playing for England. Why is he even playing?
Get him off the plane.
Get him off the plane.
Throw him off that plane.
Right. We must go to North London, where, we're already here, but figuratively speaking, Arsenal 7, Blackburn Rovers 1 was a wonderful result. And is it times like this, Jim, when you think, can we not have more than 3 points?
Can I just make a noise?
Yeah.
I was going to say, how much longer is Paul Robertson going to frustrate Arsenal?
Yeah, I know. It was brilliant. It was just nice to see Arsenal sort of have that kind of vim about them. I worried they'd lost that, because there used to be a time, even in recent seasons, where, you know, if Arsenal would have a run of results, you would know someone was going to be on the end of an absolute hammering. Mm-hmm. And it looked as if
always with Paul Robertson's playing.
I mean, it looked as if we might have lost that, because this team, you know, is one of the weakest under Wenger, I think it's fair to say. And it was just a brilliant performance from the front three in particular were superb. It's shown how, you know, Arteta's already really grown in stature in the team. He's a very important part of that midfield. He makes it tick, particularly in the absence of Wilshere, and where Ramsey's playing a lot of games. And, you know, Walcott was on top of his game. Hopefully he can find that form again.
Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of hype around him already, but, you know, he was just superb again. He's exciting, isn't he?
He's very
strong as well, and he just looks very accomplished for his age.
He needs to play. He just needs to play as much as possible.
Yeah, and I think he's going to displace Arshavin.
I think
he has done, really.
Yeah, but I mean, like, just this is it now. See you later, Andrew.
I'm surprised Arsenal didn't move him on.
Well, he may still go on because the Russian transfer window is open for another month. He could go to.
There's still time, Arsenal fans.
Van Persie, I mean, you start. Look, it's crazy, but Arsenal start a goal up every game because Van Persie always scores.
He's eclipsed Dennis Bergkamp in terms of scoring record now, which shows you what a sort of top quality player is, because Bergkamp's one of those names that's almost sort of like, you know, fictional. He's so legendary. It just shows you the quality of Van Persie. And
nice to see Henri getting his though it was lovely. Slightly fortuitous
in the first match and then his last match as well.
Last night it mattered the Emirates, I think.
And he may yet stay on for the game at Tottenham. Against Tottenham at home.
That'd be brilliant.
We all want to see that.
All Spurs fans know he'll score. They know he'll score.
Adebayor will score more.
Robinson was. I mean, I know the Henry goal was a deflection or whatever, but it's like, he's conceded over 50 goals against Arsenal now. It's like, he's not even trying anymore. I think Arsenal had 8 shots on target.
Bear in mind, though, I mean, he was in that Leeds team who Arsenal beat 5-0, I think, 3 times in the same
That's
season.
Partly his fault.
Yeah, but they were...
He was in goal for those games.
Loads of those goals were one-on-ones against him with Henri. I think Henri scored 4 of those games.
Yeah, remember what Arsenal used to be like, though.
Exactly,
you know, come on.
He was particularly on the end of that.
He's got about 40 England caps, Robinson.
Mm.
Yeah, he always be a goalkeeper of some repute. I'm just saying, he's a shadow of his former self.
But when he's still an excellent goalkeeper.
Yeah,
when that equalised, it was an equaliser, wasn't it?
It was.
I remember sort of thinking, oh.
Yeah. Jive let the team down. I mean, it's a silly decision, really.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that helped a lot. So that, you know, I mean, Arsenal were 3-1 up at that point.
Oh, they were looking good. They were looking.
They would have won the game, of course, but it still didn't help. I mean, I'm just trying to be a bit balanced here, because I had a pop at Robinson. It wouldn't have helped that he had a sort of player like Jive. Who's experienced, who's, you know, not too bad, making a ridiculous decision, like a Kevin Nolan-esque decision on the halfway.
Also, Christopher Samba was awful. It's like he wasn't even there.
Like
what you did there. Now,
was he even
QPR 1, Wolves 2. Bobby Zamora.
Yeah, B-Zam.
Yeah, one of the transfers.
Nice goal as well.
It was a nice goal.
Cissé linked up for the goal, didn't
he? He's a huge player for that team.
He is.
I imagine he's on, like, catastrophic wages.
Zamora.
That's one heck of a
Him and Cissé, you'd be loving that.
Yeah.
QPR,
but do you think it's a funny move? Y'all seemed keen to let him go.
I don't think they got on really.
Yeah, no, it smacks of that, doesn't it? But it's... it was almost talismanic for Fulham a few seasons ago, and he seemed to be getting back to that form.
Just that Europa League final season, he was excellent. The thing is, I think
even his final game, sorry to interrupt, against was it Newcastle or was that second to last for Fulham? That, you know, three assists was it, or two assists, a goal?
But I think what happened was, we mentioned this, I think on the show, but we definitely talked about it, if not on the show, that when Brian Ruiz came in, so unsettled Zamora a little bit, and then Zamora, I think, took that as a bit of an affront with Yol, and they had a bit of a falling out, and they never recovered from that, really.
But you can play the two. Well, ultimately Zamora's gone, so
I don't think you can play the two, because if you look at the Fulham Newcastle game, Fulham came back and won well. Zamora only really flourished after Ruiz went off.
I told you that was Berdinho.
It was Baird coming on.
But at the same time, is it not worth trying to find a solution to make that work? Because you've got two undoubtedly great players there.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Strange to just sort of Zamora.
It's certainly QPR's gain, and I suppose Fulham, I can't remember the figure, but it was sort of 4-5-6 million for him, for a 30-31 year old.
I think it was four initially, wasn't it, rising to
I just think they've thrown the Bobby out with the bathwater.
Well, indeed. But he was on the beat at QPR and he got the goal, but Wolves got two and won the game. CC was sent off. We'll talk about the sending off for Wolves goals. He scored on his debut, but got sent off on his home debut. Was it a sending off, do you think?
Oh God, of course it was. That's the equivalent of just like leaving the house without your trousers on. Yeah. It's just one of those. It's such a
the ref will always do it. The ref will always. He doesn't have to. When you hear a pundit or saying, "Oh, he's raised his hand, so he's got to go," that's bollocks. There's nothing in the laws to say that.
Yeah.
It's got to be violent conduct using excessive force or brutality. That's the law.
Which he didn't do.
No. Which is why I was wondering if refs do it, don't they?
I'm not saying that he wasn't stupid, because he should know that referees make that decision, but the referee was wrong to make that decision, in my opinion.
So you thought it wasn't a sending off?
By the laws of the game, I know they're open to interpretation, but by the laws of the game, it's not a sending off.
No, I didn't think it was. Look at the height difference, though. It didn't look like a...
Maybe that went into the referee's head.
Cisse's broken two legs in his career.
Well, that was mentioned.
One was a sort of unfortunate one, but the other one was from a tackle, and he's well within his rights to react in that way, because I think Roger Johnson knew that as well. I think he went in there quite harshly on him to try and rile him up, and it worked. Johnson could have arguably gone for that tackle.
But it's a great win for Wolves, though, and they do indeed.
It's a very unstable time at Wolves, because the fans seem to be really on McCarthy's back when things are going badly, and when they're going well, they seem to just be waiting for them to go badly again.
It
must be tough for McCarthy.
It wasn't that long ago when Molyneux was a bit of a rough old place in terms of the fans misbehaving and stuff, you know, it doesn't booing and that sort of thing.
I just feel sorry for him in the post-match interviews. He's not afraid to kind of show that he's sad about the whole situation.
Yeah.
He's sort of going, you know, we're like, we shipped two goals in the second half.
He bigged up. He said that he didn't agree with the. He didn't like to see Cisse get sent off for that as well.
I like McCarthy. I think he's
quite frank, isn't he?
Yeah, I like that about him.
Come on, let's go to the Sports Direct Arena, Cave of Funks and James Bar, whatever you want to call it. The Senegalese boys did the business, Pete.
Brilliant. Kissing the ground, both of them together. I like that they've got like something in common.
Solidarity.
That they both enjoy.
It's a Muslim thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I like to see an interpreter helping him out with the post-match interview. You don't see that enough these days.
Well, actually, Demba Ba helped him out for one of these
interviews. Another one,
And Gabriel Obertan translated for a football focus interview.
I hate it here. I thought I'd sign for Sunderland.
Yeah, just say everything Freddie Shepherd said about women and dogs.
That was a lovely goal, though.
It was.
There's no way anyone's saving that. Even Shea Given.
Dodgy keeper.
Pete is beaming at the moment, just talking about this. It was a lovely goal on his debut, though, isn't it?
David De Gea would have saved it.
Spence already looked great together, Barron.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's. It's worth repeating, they haven't played a lot with each other for their national team. And he spends a lot of time offside. He's like Leon Best, but quick. He hangs offside like you wouldn't believe. And there's a couple of opportunities where... And apparently, the stats bear him out. Apparently, he's the most offside player in the Bundesliga.
His goal scoring record for Freiburg's decent. They're terrible as well.
But he scores like 70% of their goals or something.
Let's say scored.
But that one was just...
Denver Bar scores 55% of Newcastle's goals, so that means they're going to get 125% of goals for Newcastle.
Yeah, pretty
much. Although some of them will be Freiburg's, so...
Yeah, that's true, It's very complicated, that, yeah.
And
get zonal marking to explain that.
Villa's goal was scored by Robbie Keane again.
Why did he move? He's never going to lose that ability, that Michael Owen-esque ability. Well, I say Michael Owen-esque, it's been a long time now, but Keane will always pop up unmarked.
Ex-Michael Owen.
Some of his movement, couple of dummies that he moved, he just dummies, moves off, and, you know, someone perched goes, oh God, I don't know what's going on.
I hate his celebration.
Yeah, I really do.
Stop it, Robbie. You're taking years off your career.
Yeah.
You're hurting your knees.
He's had a great time at Villa since he's been back there, back in the league.
Do you reckon he'll be tempted to think, oh, I can still cut it, I might come back?
I think he left way too early.
Remains to be seen. Now, let's quickly, before we go on to the two-footed stuff, West Brom 1, Swansea 2. We've got to mention the Swans' second goal. It was 19-20 passes.
Brilliant. Yeah, excellent. We're running out of things. It's the same
every
week. Yeah.
Same again.
Yeah, they always even if they lose, they still perform well.
Yeah. Get them on the plane.
All of them.
Yeah. So, you know, Wales in for England, maybe. have you seen this? A How to Tackle DVD has been sent round to the football clubs across the country this week, because there's been much debate over...
Who's sending it? You?
Sorry?
Who's sending it?
Well, someone needs to.
You get annoyed about it, so you're sending it. you're starring in it.
Is it Cisse? It's like a really sarcastic thing. He's still so annoyed about that tackle.
Yeah. It's Neil Warnock. Well, that one's all right. So was that one. I don't see the problem with that one. Yeah. of course, there's been recent sending offs for two-footed tackles. And the DVD is intended to show the difference between careless tackles, reckless tackles, and tackles using excessive force. And there's going to be Premier League examples from recent matches. Would you not be a bit annoyed if you
popped up on it?
Yeah, everyone's seeing. Oh, he's a bit.
Am I getting royalties for this?
Yeah, Carl Hendry's thinking, there I am again.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
Do you reckon at the beginning of the DVD it will come up saying starring Carl Hendry? Vince Old Company.
Is this
Carl Hendry again?
Yeah. If he's got his tackle out, it's out of order.
Yeah.
What do you think, Pete? I mean, is this? Do we need this? Is this a bit ridiculous?
I don't think it needs to go to the players. I think it needs to go to the manager, I think, to a certain extent.
And introducing Roger Johnson.
Indeed. Well, let's go to the Championship, where Nolan was sent off for a two-footer for West Ham in the Green Street Derby.
If only they'd sent the DVD to all of the football leagues.
West Ham 2, Millwall 1.
I think Nolan still would have done that.
Yeah.
It was an outrageous decision from a club captain in a derby.
out of all the two-footed lunges craziness, it wasn't the worst one I've seen even probably last couple of weeks. But it was silly.
In a fiercely contested derby like that game, you'd imagine, I don't know, if I was a fly on the wall in that dressing room in West Ham, I'd imagine that Kevin Nolan, as the captain, would be saying, right, don't let the occasion get to you. Let's get the ball down. Let's keep it for a bit and play the game. Let's not play the occasion. Bang, 9 minutes gone. Off.
Yeah. But
straight red as well.
And he's been one of their best players.
Yeah.
It's a form of cowardice, I think, to a certain extent. Because you want to go in hard, but you don't want to risk you just putting one foot in. You just want to go, right, I'm not going to get hit from this. Smack.
You're right, because I've heard players...
Because you've done it.
Talk about it.
Do it.
I can't get the pace. I've heard players say they use the soles of their feet as an almost shield, and that's why. Because they're worried they're going to get hurt themselves. So in that way, it is a
like you wouldn't want to go like just with a pointed foot
with a metatarsal.
I have to say, I did think I saw the game. I did think Millwall were awful.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful. I mean, the goal aside, which was a nice goal, I thought they were really poor.
Well, they've been poor this season, really, haven't they?
Allardyce says it's one of his best ever wins.
Ooh. It's a big occasion, isn't it?
Yeah. And down to 10 early on.
Yeah.
And he's going to get a lot of credit for saying that with the fans as well, don't forget.
Yeah. Bristol City 0, Leeds United 3. But the story coming out of Leeds is that they've sacked Simon Grayson.
Yeah, day after the transfer window shut.
A little bit harsh, do you not think?
Well, if you're going to do it before the transfer window finishes.
Yeah.
Because Ken Bates doesn't spend any money.
That Ken Bates operates using some sort of logic.
Yeah, that is true. Three, there are only a few points off the playoff spots, I think.
Another classy decision.
Yeah.
There have been reports coming out that Grayson's not. Sort of lost the dressing room a little bit, but to be fair to Grayson, he's had players sold from under him.
Yeah. Oh, there's been a lot of players
moving out,
to and fro.
I hate Ken Bates. Yeah. He looks like something from Star Wars, doesn't he? Yeah. Barely even looks human. He's such a horrible looking bloke.
Is it you who calls him Papa Smurf?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it's harsh enough.
No. There's talk of Warnock being sort of tapped up, but I think Warnock has a bit of history with Bates, because didn't he turn down Chelsea? Wasn't he doing really well at a lower league club?
Just Warnock and Bates in the same club.
Yeah, wouldn't last.
Even Gary McAllister on Football Focus was like, "Woof, come on."
Yeah. Because he wants it. That's what.
Very much. Sad news coming out of Nottingham. Nottingham Forest owner Nigel Doughty's died. Yeah. Their owner, of course. Very sad indeed. He was a genuine fan of the club.
Yeah, as was his family. Money as well.
100 million, I read somewhere.
I read 75, but either way.
Yeah, he's in his 50s as well. Yeah, condolences to his family and stuff.
He's in the gym, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's in the gym at his house or something. Yeah. Forrester, I mean, so I was just going to say, Forrester in a real dire straits as well. Yeah. So yeah. I think he has put financial things in place, should anything happen to him, hopefully they'll be okay for the near future, but still not great, is it?
Let's go to Serie A, where Milan dropped points at home to Napoli, and Zlatan was sent off for slapping a player.
But it was a real cowardly slap. It was around the head of one of his teammates, and more of a sort of brush in the face.
Like a Mourinho eye gouge.
Yeah, it was
from
a lot like
from the blind side. Yeah.
Like Mr. Tickle.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, you should put your shoulder into it. Come on, if you're going to get sent off.
Juventus still undefeated.
Yeah, well, they dropped points as well.
Got a game in hand,
but like Zlatan, he now could be banned up to 3 games, which will include the game against Juventus for that.
Player of the year as well.
If you're going to use your like karate skills, give them a full
your
force.
Honorary karate skills.
Well, elsewhere in Serie A, big win for Roma. They beat Inter 4-0. Inter have conceded 8 goals in their last 2 games. They drew last week with Palermo 4-4. What the hell are they doing, Luke?
Yeah, well, it's just as we bigged them up. I'm pretty sure Diego Milito scored 4 goals in that 4-4.
He did, yeah.
And he's the only player in Serie A history to score 4 in one game and not be on the winning team.
Right.
Yeah.
Mikkel also got a hat-trick in that game. And Barini scored twice for Roma. And he's 20 years old. He's ex-Chelsea. That just sounds weird.
It does. Yeah.
He's Italian as well. And he's under 21 international. Playing very, very well. Looks a real prospect.
Not like looking at Chelsea.
Bojan scored a great goal as well. Yeah. He had like an army of players around him. Managed to turn on the edge of the box and score a peach. It's good to see him doing well under Enrique.
But they're doing much better now. They're about 6th now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're coming back up.
You only get 3 places in the Champions League, though, in Serie A this season, so it's a lot harder.
Perhaps a goal of the weekend in Serie A was Rodrigo Palacio scoring for Genoa with an outrageous flick.
I didn't see that one.
Well, I don't think he meant to score, did he?
I don't know.
Hope
he meant to score.
There was a lovely...
On his birthday as well.
A lovely totty back heel on that Roma game.
There will be.
Took about 4 players at the game with a back heel. The guy should have scored, but he didn't.
That's it, isn't it? Don't slave to the result.
He could still do that when he's like 50 years old.
I love that. The Roma fans had a banner because obviously Luis Enrique's in charge a lot. Put on the style of play. Don't slave to the result.
No.
Gorgeous sentiment.
Yeah.
Which doesn't win you trophies.
No.
Right, but let's go to the Bundesliga.
Three Serie A titles in like 100 years or something, haven't they?
Not slaves to the title.
Yeah. Bundesliga. Is that what you had saying? Well, let's go there. Whereas Borussia Dortmund have broken away from the pack at the top of the league. They won 2-0 against Nuremberg, whereas Bayern, Schalke and Mönchengladbach all drew.
Well, they played each other. Three-way game.
It was incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah, it
it's a good league. That's why it's so well attended. Yeah. 3 sets of fans each game. But I love Schalke's font on the names on their kits.
Yeah.
It's just like a sort of big 70s cartoon font for the names of their players. It's brilliant.
Now, we talked about Bayern Munich last week dropping a bollock with their transfer, signing the 12th man, which was the fans. And
dropped a ballack.
They did. Frank Ribery was saying the other day, I thought it was quite ironic, that Bayern should have strengthened their squad in the transfer window.
They did. They signed about 13 million Facebook
fans. Well, he said, and this is, well, he said, Bayern have no real good bench and don't have...
Terrible grammar.
And don't have a really good second team. But I'm not the president nor the manager, just a player.
Shut up then.
Well, yeah, stop acting like it. He's basically slagging off the subs. He said, we've got a good start at 11, but...
The rest of them, they're all dicks.
I'd put them on the bench for the next game. What do you think of it now?
Yeah. Is that improved it?
Yeah.
It's heated. What's wrong with it?
Oh, dear. But elsewhere in Germany, Michael Ballack's agent has got himself in trouble with Rudi Voller. Yes, I just said that. His agent...
Gob in his afro.
his agent's name is Dr. Michael Becker.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Isn't that a name with the Ted Danson's character in the medical drama Becker?
It must be. Absolutely must be. He's been moaning, saying that his client is being treated like a pawn at Bayern Leverkusen. Voller is director of sport at the club, and he met with Becker last week, and he said he has been shown the yellow card. This will never happen again, or he will never set foot in the stadium.
Hasn't Ballack been a bit rubbish at the
beginning? He has a bit disappointing since joining in 2010.
He's getting on, you know, he's off the back of a sort of, you know, pretty injury plagued time.
Do you not like that though? That the director of sport at the club has
not
said,
having it.
Yeah, he's gone right. You're slagging the club off. Right, meet me. Yeah, do that again and you're out, pal.
It's a yellow.
End of.
I hope he got an actual yellow out.
Oh, he would have done.
So what is he implying that Ballack, because Ballack's a bit of a Leverkusen legend, he's implying that he's being used to sell shirts, that sort of stuff?
Well, I don't know. I don't know enough about it to be honest. But I like though that. Taking a stand against the agents.
Well, watch it with interest.
Mm.
Yeah.
Paul Stretford could never get a job in Germany. Yeah, yeah. He's been banned from the country.
Can you imagine Paul Stretford in his ear going, right, yeah, now tell him you want more wages. Tell him you want more wages.
Go on, Wayne.
Go on, Wazos.
And a house for me.
Yeah.
And a dragon.
Otherwise, we're off. Now, let's go to some international football. The African Cup of Nations, Pete.
Yeah. Enjoyable.
It has been enjoyable. The Ivory Coast showing a bit more, aren't they?
In fact, the Ivory Coast are the only team that really actually, you know, won convincingly. They're all tight games.
Well, Zambia did as well.
They'll get dramatically beat in the final. That's how it works.
I'm not sure. I think it could be their year. Drogba scored two. He missed a penalty. The first one was a little bit of a gift, but Drogba still had a bit to do. But what a powerful header, the second goal.
What a free kick from Toure.
Well, for the third.
From miles away.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was, 35 yards.
I don't think it was. I think Jovino took a bit of a dive for that as well. He went down very easily. And Toure absolutely leathered it on the post.
I think it was probably about 35, 40 yards, but maybe that camera angle makes it look further away.
Well, the footage I was watching said that it was like 32 metres or something, so yeah, it's over 35 yards just about. Yeah.
Going back to the Drogba one, can you imagine him as a 75-year-old man? I can't imagine him.
He'd still be like that, won't he?
Just being the most powerful old man in the world. Yeah. He's just so...
Some
he hung in there and he just slammed it. A proper striker's piss-off header. Piss punched off it. Everyone, I'm doing this.
Punched it with his head. It sort of thing.
Indeed. Elsewhere, Ghana beat Tunisia 2-1. It's very unconvincing, Ghana, but they've gone through. But I think Zambia will beat them in the semi-final.
I'd love to see Zambia win it.
I would. They've been really entertaining. Mm. Players like Mayuka, I think it is, and Kalaba have been great. But their main man for me is the Frenchman at the helm of it all, Harve Renard.
He is. He's an ex-Bond.
Got a bit of a man crush, haven't you?
Massively! I think, like, if he walks in a room and James Bond was in there, Bond would go, oh, I've got a bit of competition here.
Yeah.
Lovely hair.
Yeah.
It is very suave. White shirt and the... Oh,
and the
ladies. Flowing locks. Ladies. Get on
back,
that, I tell you.
Hair.
Have a look at that. Yeah. yes, indeed. Now, where else? Gabon-Mali was a good game. It was nice to see a stadium that was nearly full.
Yeah, that's been a real problem. Cool, isn't it? It's just more about the regimes in charge of Guinea in particular. But.
It's all over football, though, isn't it? I mean, I know it's to more of an extent in Africa, but
for an international tournament.
When you see the stadiums, like, you just think, who's benefiting from this tournament? Mm. Who's benefiting from this?
Well, there's been a lot said about that there's not been many flights in and around the countries. You know, it's very difficult for fans to travel, so fans don't go there because it's expensive enough.
Yeah.
And ticket prices in Equatorial Guinea have been at sort of a week's wages on average. That it's been very, very poorly planned.
The way people say that, though, oh, it's been a week's wages. Yeah, I understand that. But how much were the Champions League final tickets at Wembley?
Yeah.
€250 or something?
Yeah.
That's not far off a week's wages for a lot of people in England.
But that's the biggest game in the European calendar.
But it's still a big tournament game, is what we're saying. I'm not comparing them in that way. I'm just saying that it's not just in Africa where tickets are ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, there was talk just the other day about a team going away to Arsenal, or no, going away to Chelsea, I think, and some of the tickets are £60. Mm. You know, it's outrageous.
But comparing African prices.
But all I'm saying to you is it's more of a worldwide problem, sort of a rounded problem.
Yeah, no, that's
it. It's representative of a trend. Yeah. It's an extreme example of it, but it's going on.
We saw it at South Africa in the World Cup final.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's outrageous.
We quoted sort of like way over a grand for final tickets.
Yeah.
Well, not from
a
proper outlet.
No. We weren't quite anything from official sources because no one knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Me and Marcus sat in one of the soccer camps going, has anybody heard anything about tickets? And possibly, thank you. Third place, no doubt, is not in Johannesburg. We're not going there, thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, just briefly before we go from the African Cup of Nations, Gabon did go out to Mali.
Yeah.
It was a shame they had chances 1-0 to miss it. Daniel Kuzan.
Cater scored the winning penalty.
Cater did score. He showed a nice bit of composure, and it's nice for him because he's looked to as their main man. He scored a lovely goal to put them through. And the other bit in the penalty shootout was Imange, I think his name was, for Gabon. he took the penalty that they needed to score to stay in it. Dinked it.
Yeah. Oh, the
ball oh my goodness.
That was just after Pierre Aubameyang, I think his name is. Yeah. He'd missed, isn't it? So he's the pressure's right up there.
It's a great shame for him. He's been their main man. Yeah. And one of them.
But what I really liked about that when he did miss was the whole team comforted him. Yeah. The whole team rallied around him.
Indeed.
I enjoyed like the lap of honour on an actual running track. Which I quite like.
Old school that.
Yeah, indeed. No, it's great. So, my prediction, Ivory Coast v Zambia in the final. Ivory Coast to win it after extra time.
Oof. It's Ivory Coast versus Mali and Ghana versus Zambia in the semis, isn't it? Yeah.
That's what I think. And now it's time for Going for Glold.
Going for Glold. Glold. It is time for Going for Glold. Let me just tottle over here.
Grab me clothes now.
I thought you said clothes.
Please do put some on.
I am completely nudded. I've just got wait a second for my mouse to wake up.
This is vintage radio, this.
Not even radio.
MacBook Airs are sometimes a little bit sluggish sometimes. Right, your first clue.
Yep.
I own two Tony and Guy hair salons with my business partner, Jim Shaw.
Stop. Stephen Ireland.
No.
Stop.
David Ginola.
No.
Damien Atkinson.
Oh, you can't have more than one.
And you've got to say stop.
Yeah. No, sorry,
you've got to
God.
Set the next clue after that sort of
what?
Behaviour.
Sinbind.
As manager, I got my team to the Conference National Playoffs.
Stop. Graham Wesley?
No.
Ah, it's worth it.
Well, obviously wasn't worth it.
Yeah, that's what he said. I'm worth it.
My middle name is Charles.
Could be anyone. Next clue.
My assistant at the moment is Jimmy Dack. Dack attack. I just wanted to say Dack attack.
Right, you said it.
Jimmy Dack.
He's a current manager at the moment.
I was a 1991 FA Cup and 1999 League Cup winner.
Dack attack. 1991 FA Cup winner?
Yeah. Well, that narrows it down. But I can't.
Stop. Justin Edinburgh.
It's just an Edinburgh.
Yeah. Well done, mate. Well done.
Fair play.
Cheers.
I was born in Basildon. My first club was the Shrimpers. My final playing and first managing job was Billericay Town. And I am in a city, but only just.
We'd have got that. Nice.
God, I threw that back from the dead.
Yeah.
I was going through like Vinnie Samways, Gary Mabbitt. Vinnie Samways. Lovely.
Gary Mabbitt owning two hair salons.
Well, that's what I'm saying there. Lineker, Gascoigne.
Yeah.
Eric Toolsvet.
Yeah. It's just Edinburgh.
Right then, it's profile. No, it isn't. It's email.
Thank you for your email, lady.
Boom it.
Oh, laugh! We nearly did.
Go on then.
Bonjour, Ramblers.
Hello.
No, is that Herb Renard?
Sadly not. It's Ronan Donoghue. Not the same. Noticed that you're fans of Graham Wesley, and I have a story from his Stevenage days. I used to work at the local college where my job was basically to arrange times and venues for students' PE as we didn't have much space in the college. We often used Stevenage's training facilities as it was just up the road and they had a dance studio. One day, I sent our supportive study students, which is students with various mental and physical disabilities, along with their teachers and the dance instructor up there to do a session. However, there had been a mix-up with the bookings and the team were supposed to be doing a session in there at the same time. I got a call from one of the teachers saying the boss, Wesley, was kicking off, furious that students were disrupting his day's training and wanted them to leave quickly. I rushed up there in an attempt to defuse the situation. When I arrived, the situation had calmed down and Wesley was joining him and the students in their dance lesson. I asked one of our teachers what had happened and she said he got so irate that he went into the studio to kick the students out, then he realised they were supportive study students and didn't have the heart to do it, instead joining in with their fun. Well, seems done. Like a top bloke, but an all too real life version of David Brent. So yeah, that is from Ronan Donoghue. So yeah, thank you. That's well, a lovely story, isn't it?
We've got to say about Graham Wesley that because Preston North End manager last week, you mentioned he'd sent out yet more funny texts about terrorist attacks and all this sort of stuff. It's found out not to be true.
Well, we got a good 5 minutes of material out of it, so
we'll have it.
Forget it.
So actually, can we just refute that and maintain that it is true?
Well, we'd like to say sorry to Graham Wesley, and but send some more texts, and we'll have some more lulls.
Hello, I'm Dean Windass, and this is my Hall of Fame.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for a profile. And who have we got coming at you? It's Ozzy Ardiles.
Big time.
The likeable little Argentinian.
Mm.
Some player as well.
He was born on August...
Yeah, he's not getting in on his personality, you know. It's
3rd of August, 1952, Jim.
15 years before the Summer of Love.
15. Mm. 15. Well, what a player he was, from Argentina, as we said. He was, damn it all, the first foreign player to have a real impact on the top division in the modern game in England.
Mm. That was a time when there were really hardly any foreign players. It was a real big deal.
Yeah.
I can imagine at the time it was sort of, would have been almost quite controversial. You know, you probably would have had people kind of complaining about foreign players playing in the league.
Yeah,
you still get that nowadays.
You still get it now, but you know how people hate the sort of naturalisation of players into international teams. I'm just guessing, but I imagine.
I think it very much depends on who the player
men
is.
Would have been angry about that.
Not many people were complaining about Bergkamp. But some other people.
No, but that was a long time.
Bergkamp was 20 years after.
Yeah, fair enough.
And many say he paved the way for other players from overseas to come and improve the standard of football in England, really. Mm. So he used to play in the streets of Argentina, as you'd imagine, when he was young, and he got the nickname El Pitón, the snake. Mm. He said,
"Quite snakey, actually."
Yeah, well, that's right. He said, "When I was younger,
tongue.
Yep. That's, when I was younger, doesn't swallow, doesn't chew his food.
Gives
when
blood
I
was, to eggs.
All right.
Yeah.
Shed when his skin.
I, when I was younger, I used to play football in the streets." I was very small and wouldn't pass it much. I would dribble and dribble and dribble. My brother said that I looked like a snake because I used to wind round the pitch.
Yeah, I can see that. He has quite snaky hips, I think.
Like I said, I wouldn't give the ball to anybody else. My brother used to call me a tit.
Everyone hated me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He started his playing career at Instituto de Córdoba, which is near his town where he was from. And that was where Mario Kempes was too.
Mm.
He started out there, I think. So he then moved to Belgrano before he made his way to Huracan in 1975, which is really where his career took off.
The legendary Huracan.
Mm, absolutely. He was mainly a central midfielder, or sort of right central midfielder. Wasn't tall, only about 5'6", 5'7". Wasn't physically imposing, but had the knack of breaking up play and instigating it too.
Yeah, but he could move the ball quickly and pass it as well. He was very nippy too. So he's similar to a lot of the sort of diminutive players, midfield players we see around now.
Yeah.
At the top end. You know, like you say, 5'7", I think he was.
Maybe like a David Pizarro.
Yeah, absolutely. But he moved the ball very quickly. He'd get in on the end of a few tackles as well, and he dealt in some spectacular goals. Yeah. He did score a few.
We said he described his playing style as saying, half my job was to create, the other half was to defend. I was a pure midfielder. Who you rarely saw in either penalty area. My task was to free up the playmaker to give him the time and space to create.
Mm. Yeah. It's weird because you think of him as almost an attacking midfielder. So it's interesting to hear that sort of.
You know. Maybe, yeah, I mean, I suppose a player like that, quite a deep lying playing.
He's still very cultured, though. I don't know why he's saying that about himself.
Yeah. Well,
he's being modest.
You think of some of the players he played with, you know.
There's no room for modesty in the Dean when that's all the phone, though. You've got to get used to that.
He was called up to the Argentina squad in 1975 and would go on to great things in the famous blue and white jersey.
Won the World Cup.
Well, indeed he did. The national coach at the time was Cesar Menotti, who Ardiles said taught him more than anybody else did in the game. And I like this, and he took this into management, I'm sure we remember. He said, he gave me a playing philosophy that valued the importance of trying to entertain and play good football.
Yeah, definitely translated to his manager. He was Keegan's influence.
Well, indeed he was. A couple of years before the 1978 World Cup in Argentina, a military junta had taken control of Argentina, and the country was in a bit of a state, really, one could say. But the government put a lot of pressure on the team to win the World Cup when it was hosted in Argentina.
And a lot of pressure on the referees as well.
Yes.
Lot of conspiracy theories about that World Cup.
A lot of dodgy dealings and whatnot going on. But Ardiles in Argentina did go on to win the tournament, beating the brilliant Dutch side in the final 3-1. But the images...
What a final that was.
Yeah, after extra time.
The ticker tape.
Yeah, the ticker
everywhere.
Tape.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
What an iconic
Kempes
image.
Was just joy in that. Yeah. Tournament as well.
Yeah. The ticker tape, in particular, falling from the crowd during the tournament, is one of the great World Cup iconic images, you know. During that tournament in 78 and also in 82, Argentina allocated their squad numbers alphabetically. Our dealer said this was to stop any arguments over who had what number, although he said, interestingly enough, Mario Kempes in 1978 and Diego Maradona in 1982 both got the number 10 shirt.
Yeah. Odd that.
But our dealer was number one in 1982.
Great stuff.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I do quite like
it. I think so.
The only problem with it is you end up with what I call the Steve Morrison problem, where you have a number five playing up front.
Yeah.
Well, Asamoah Gyan for Ghana, who boasts three up front.
Yeah, yeah. But these are
Kone for Levante, who's two up front.
Well, at least there's a reasoning for this, though.
You know, I understand. There's a logic
system
behind it. Yeah.
It's not madness. It's not chaos, Luke. No.
It's order, not disorder.
Anyway, after their triumph at the World Cup in 1978. Keith Birkinshaw, who was in charge of Spurs at the time, signed Ozzy Ardiles and his fellow countryman Ricky Villa for £750,000, which was an incredible move at the time, with very few foreign players moving around, especially not from Argentina to England.
Well, because didn't he have to go away during the Falklands?
Well, yeah. Well, we get onto that
in a bit.
No worries, yeah. But Ardiles, he didn't know what to expect going to England. It was an absolutely incredible move. You know, I mean, there's not that many players go directly from Argentina to England nowadays, but 1978, unbelievable stuff. When he arrived, the Spurs fans recreated the ticker tape scenes from the 1978 World Cup, which was quite a nice touch, I think. Later, when he became Swindon Town manager, their fans did the same in the semi-final of the playoffs against Blackburn. Perhaps not quite the...
Don't have a go at them.
Yeah, but a great... Effort, no doubt.
Canio wants a bit of that.
No doubt. Ardiles thought that they'd only stay in England a few years and then they'd move back. He still lives here. But Ardiles and Ricky Villa were great friends and brilliant for Spurs. And it would have helped having a fellow Argentinian playing.
Oh, it's a shrewd move getting two of them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very smart.
And you said, Luke, earlier about the quick passing, the two of them in the centre of midfield knocking the ball around really quickly. But you said a lot of the time the ball was in the air, so they had to try and get it down and play.
Yeah. it must have been such a culture shock for the pair of them, especially given how English football would have been back then.
Imagine being a Spurs fan, though, watching those two in the centre of the park.
I don't have many memories. I was a bit too young for it, but vague memories and sort of maybe videos of it, where he used to wear number seven. And I just remember being quite dynamic, moving the ball. And he seem to remember scoring quite a lot of goals off the bar. Or into the top corner. He was two-footed as well. He seemed to be adept with both feet, which is obviously
great.
Well,
shift play and
a lot of time for that.
I can see why Villa grew that beard. To be fair, it's very chilly over
here. A bit chilly. One of his favourite memories at Spurs was at Old Trafford in an FA Cup replay, where Spurs keeper went off injured, and Glenn Hoddle went in goal.
Seems a waste.
What? Incredible, isn't it?
Is he thinking I'll be centre of attention here? Probably why.
And Ardiles scored the only goal of the game in extra time. But imagine Hoddle, Ardiles, and Ricky Villa, a very cultured midfield.
Yeah. One of them's in goal.
Well, you can distribute from there. Even.
Yeah. Yeah. Spraying the passes around.
Imagine
his
goal kicks straight onto the feet.
I'm going to play a very deep lying midfield role.
That's it. That would be a keeper who would use his feet, not his hands.
Oh yeah, definitely.
He enjoyed playing in the FA Cup, our dealers. They won it twice on the bounce in 81 and 82, although 81 final will be remembered for Ricky Villa's great solo goal against Manchester City. Now, as you said earlier, Luke, when the Falklands War broke out in 82, it was a very difficult time for our dealers, and he was loaned out to Paris Saint-Germain for a year. Whilst the fighting sort of carried on, and obviously it didn't last a year, the war, it did stop. And he didn't enjoy his time in France, and only lasted 6 months there, and Keith Birkinshaw took him back and assured him everything would be fine, and it was, to everybody's credit at the club. Mm. Very difficult time, though.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, because it was miles away from home.
And a couple of years later, he won the UEFA Cup with Spurs in 1984.
That Ardiles thing is a bit like Bert Trautmann. Because he ended up in England, didn't he?
Taken
to the hearts of the English people, even though he was German.
Well, that's why at the start of the profile, made a real impact in the modern game, because obviously Bert Trautmann made an impact, but quite a long time ago. Now, he left Tottenham in 1988, had short spells with Blackburn, QPR, and Fort Lauderdale Strikers in America. Went on to be a manager, started his managerial career at Swindon Town as player manager, and I think they gained promotion under him, but it was taken away due to previous errors by previous management, which is a bit of a sickener.
Bit harsh.
But he did manage Spurs in the 90s, 93 to 94, and he loved an attacking formation, didn't he?
Yeah.
Front five. Sheringham, Klinsmann, Barmby, Anderton, Dumitrescu.
He spent like a little while at Newcastle as well. He had no money. He was forced to he basically launched the careers like Steve Howie and Lee Clark and players like that.
And that's what he'll be remembered for.
Bottom of Division Two.
Won the World Cup, you say? Yeah. Have you heard of Steve Howie? Because you wouldn't have done.
I love it when he talks about his time at Spurs, because he was heavily criticised for playing so attacking. And he said, well, I was inspired by the Brazil team from 1970. And he starts mentioning Pelé and Rivelino. And they have five attacking players at Barcelona and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, well, they probably
Nick Bombay.
They probably do have five attacking players at the Nou Camp. And there is
and Ronnie Rosenthal coming off the bench.
That's right, yes. Yeah. To make it six if they're a goal down.
Which they often were.
There was a little rumour that apparently our dealers, when talking to his players through the attacking strategies and whatnot before one of the games, that somebody said, well, what should we do if we haven't got the ball? And he just went, don't lose the ball.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
But yeah, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it certainly sounds like it could be. So yeah, he didn't last too long at Spurs, sadly. And then he coached in a number of countries from there: Mexico, Argentina, Syria, Israel, Croatia, Japan, and Paraguay. His only league title win as a manager came during his time in Japan. So he does have a league title to his name as a manager
and a World Cup as a player.
Not bad. And in 2010, he launched the Aussie Ardiles Soccer School, and the motto is "Play the Aussie way."
Yeah, I like that.
Australians turning up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pick the ball up, fight, drink.
But perhaps he was part of one of the greatest football teams ever assembled, was in the film Escape to Victory with Pelé and Bobby Moore and all the boys, and he's coming into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Come on, Ozzy. His knees have gone all trembling.
I love that in the cast of Escape to Victory, John Walk got in before our dealers.
Walk, he's in.
Yeah. They're all in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Canny few members of that.
Still not Pelé. Although I suppose he's in with the New York Cosmos, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble this week. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com. Jimbo.
Yes, and on the website this week, Ed Ahrens mulls over Stephen Pienaar's return to Everton. Dermot Corrigan takes us through all the transfers that happened in La Liga during the January transfer window. And our new kind of guest blog superstar Duncan Jenkins takes you through basically what to do if you're an aspiring blogger.
Simply one of the most exciting football writers to emerge in generations.
Indeed. There's plenty more besides that, including live fantasy football from Pick Live, the Hall of Fame, the Sharp, and all kinds of fun on the forum. So go over there now,
literally now.
Go. Rude. What are you doing? Even if you're on the bus, jump off the bus screaming, I need to be somewhere now.
Even if you're on it now listening to the show, open it up in another window.
But remember, road safety first. That is the end of the show, isn't it, boys? Have we got any more for any more? No, we don't. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, darling.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Binklebox.
Goodbye, Binklebox.
With Ardiles. Brilliant. It is Archibald, he's got a chance. Good save. Ricky Villa scored. And it was made by his fellow Argentine, Ozzy Ardiles.
I used to work at the local college where my job was basically to...
I'm sorry. Jim, you can't get pissed off because we did this
all the time. No, I can. I used to work...
Come on. Sorry, that was funny. You wasn't doing anything. You just went, right, come on. And you start talking.
I used to work at the local college when...
This is what happens.
I used to work at the local college where my job was basically to arrange times and venues. What's funny about the local college and the times and venues being arranged?
And laugh.
I used to work at the local college where my job was basically to arrange times and venues for students' PE, as we didn't have much space in the college. We often used Stevenage's training facilities as it was just up the road and they had a dance studio. Seems odd to me.
That's a good penis.
That's excellent.
That is excellent.
Oh, this is so out of context. I wasn't expecting that. That's what he said, probably.
Right then, it's profile time, you people.
Show him. I'm not doing the profile with that on the screen, so you can show him.
It is an allegory for...
Why has he got a cap on?
Ozzy Ardiles' time at Newcastle.
But who is he?
Who is he?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.